Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good. You did sound like you're doing great. It's good to hear. This summer, Lori and I got a chance to go home for a wedding. It was her youngest nephew, and I got to watch a family interact in a pretty special way. So she had it was Daniel's wedding, and he has two brothers and a sister. The day before the wedding, they all got together, and the husbands, they're all married, and so the husbands, the wives, the sister, her husband, they all got together and drove an hour and a half to some sort of sci-fi card game. Not Pokemon, but some kind of sci-fi. I was like, that is odd. why would you do that? And what's the deal? And so then the next day, we spent the whole day, not the whole day, but much of the day throughout the conversation was about this card game the day before and all the fun they had and what happened and the encouragement. And I watched a couple things happen with them. One is they're ages 24 to 32. One is they hadn't forgotten how to play. They had not forgotten how to play together. And number two was, in all of their banter, in all of their interaction with each other, an underlying truth was they kept encouraging the other person. Like when they joked in such a way that really encouraged the other people that went and watched that happen. It was a really cool thing to watch. How do you become one family? We started the series with talking about three different buckets. Those who, after COVID, had come back right away and you're like, whoa, it's not the same. It's not like it used to be. Everybody's gone. Those who are new since COVID, and they're like, hey, we're the new people. We're probably on the outside looking in. And then those who've kind of slowly come back and said, well, you know, it's different. It's probably like I'm kind of on the outside looking in too. And we came up to the conclusion from the scriptures that what we're going to do this year, what's next? We're going to become one family. That's what we're going to do. But how? Well, today, I really want it to be more about an experience that we have together than something you learn. Today, my goal isn't to teach you something you've never heard or give you a perspective you've never had. Today, the goal is that we experience oneness together and we experience what it is that really truly makes us one. And so you got the path there in front of you. You have your communion cups there. What we're going to do today is I'm going to talk for a little bit, and we're going to work through this path a little bit, and then we're going to take communion together. We're going to experience Christ together. And then after that, I'm going to talk a little bit about the first step on the path and what often trips up many of us that keeps us from being able to experience that oneness. And so let's jump in. The path starts with the beginning. Like, how do you get on the path? Really key to being one family is that we understand where the beginning of the path is and how do we get on this path. And the second is there's this key. The key is this is between you and Jesus, heart to heart. So our oneness does not begin with us. It begins with Him. All right, let's say that again. Our oneness, it doesn't begin with us. It doesn't matter how hard we want to be one. And you watch this all over the world. People are like, why can't we be one? They write songs about it. They start movements about it. They do all these things, but it always crumbles. Why? Because oneness doesn't actually start with us. It starts with Him. And so to experience Christ together actually is an experience that you have heart to heart with Christ. That's the experience I want you to have this morning. I want you to interact with him heart to heart. The next is, where do we begin? Where does it all begin? What are some maybe facts or truths in terms of things we understand to be true that help us to be one? We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 2. It says this, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world." We started the series by going, listen, what makes us one? What absolutely makes us one is we have no righteousness of our own. That we get caught in our trespasses and sins. And we've all experienced this. I don't think this is anything new for you. I don't think this is earth-shattering for you. No matter how badly you don't want to react in a selfish way, turn up the heat hot enough, you do. No matter how much you know your pride and your defensiveness is just messing things up, you can't stop. You always go back to that pride. No matter how devastating, no matter how embarrassing, no matter how just ugly that lust is, it just keeps coming back. We're just slaves to that. We're going to start there. Then we're going to walk through some things, and I think you're going to find this part interesting. These truths we're going to walk through are not by faith. We don't believe these things because God came and said, "Believe me." We actually believe these things because they've been revealed to us. This is important. They've been revealed to us. These are actually historical facts that have been revealed to us, something God's revealed to us. This is not what God asks you to interact with him about faith by. Let's take a look at them. The first one we started with, "I am dead in my trespasses and sin." Any person who's at all honest about reality realizes we are slaves to sin. It doesn't matter how much it messes us up, we're slaves to it. The second is that Jesus is God. And you're like, wait, no, I don't know if I believe that. The reason you wouldn't believe that is because you haven't honestly investigated it. You see, when Jesus came and he did all those miracles, he didn't do all those miracles because if you have a relationship with God, you're going to have miracles done in your life every day. He did all those miracles, Jesus, the human, did all those miracles to prove he was God. It says it over and over again. The reason he was doing that was to prove he was God. It's a historical thing that happened that got written down and has been passed on to us for thousands of years. Jesus was born of a virgin. Again, we don't believe this because of, we have great faith. This is something that Jesus said was true and also was written down and documented. But it's really important for the next point. Matter of fact, this has to be true for the next point to be true. Jesus lived a righteous life. Jesus was holy and pure. He was not born into sin. And so he lived a righteous life. Jesus died on the cross. This as well is historical. If you don't think this is true, it's because you probably haven't researched and honestly taken a look at the history and all the documentation that says this is that happened. Then Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. Again, you're like, I don't know if I believe that. This isn't something for you to believe or not believe. This is something for you to research, find out, did this happen? This has been revealed to us. Jesus invites each of us to be forgiven and into a new life. This is the faith moment. This is the faith moment. This is what I want all of us to grab a hold of and that we share together. Now, you may be here this morning and you're like, I've never asked Christ to forgive me. I've never trusted him to forgive me. Well, he invites you to. And everyone who has come up to the place that you're at right now, which is, wait, Jesus is asking me to trust him that he would forgive me. There's some passages we're going to take a look at here. The kind of marker for this step, the beginning step, is that my heart is surrendered to Jesus as Lord or boss of my life. My faith is in Jesus alone to forgive me of my sins and take me to heaven with him. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5 says this. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, our relationship with God starts with his love for you. It starts with God's love for me. He has proven it with everything he's done. But this is a one-on-one with me experience. He has made us alive together with Christ. So Christ comes to each of us and he says, I want to make you alive. He says, I want to forgive you of your sins. I want you to become mine. But what does he ask us to do? What's our role in it? Well, the next passage says, for by grace you have been saved. Grace is when someone does something good for you you do not deserve. Grace is when somebody does something for you out of the kindness of their heart. Not because they see something good in you or potential in you. No. It's by grace. God understands you and I have no ability to overcome the sin. We can't do it. So what does he call upon us to do? He says, by grace you've been saved through faith. See, this morning, what makes us one? I need God. That's what makes us one. I need God. There's something in my life that tells me there's a hole in my heart. I need God. There's got to be more to life than what I'm experiencing. I need God. My life's a mess. I need God. And he comes to me. And he says, this might be new for you. You may not know this. Jesus says, I have done everything you need to be done for you to be forgiven, for you to become holy, for you to go to heaven. Jesus says, I have done everything. You can't add to it. I've done everything that needs to be done. Would you just trust me? Would you give up the idea that you have something to offer me? Would you give up the idea this is going to be transactional? You give me something and I give you something else. Give that up. Would you come to the place where you remember, oh my goodness, God is asking me to step into, to jump off the cliff into his love and his grace. To give up on me and become his. Now, on one hand, that sounds very simple and easy, and it is. On the other hand, it is the scariest step you'll ever take in your life. Why? Because you give up rights to your life. It's over. Once you jump in, you can't get back out. Once you jump in, it's all up to Him. Now, we're going to take communion. And as we do, if you've taken this step, would you right now just remember and come back to that place where you are interacting with God by grace through faith? He's done everything. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. I know you're struggling with this. I know you've taken the reins back. I know you think you need to make things happen. No, right now, Christ says, I've done everything that needs to happen. Would you trust me? If you've never taken this step, I invite you to take this step this morning. Before we do, I've asked the band to come and sing. And for some of you, as soon as they start singing, you're going to want to pop up and sing with them. You just love it. For others of you, you might need to just sit there for a little while, right? Just let the Spirit of God whisper into your ear, I've done everything. I've done it all. I've taken care of everything. Will you trust me? Prepare the elements, kind of get your top ready. I want to go back to that passage that we just read. Where it says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, the bread represents body, Christ's broken body. His body was broken to pay not only for everything I've ever done, but to pay for who I am. To pay for my selfishness and my pride and my lust. That crazy desire to measure everything based on me. And He comes to us this morning, and what makes us one this morning is the moment that we put our faith in His death on the cross. If He's done everything that needs to be done for you, if you can trust Him with all of your sin, take the bread together. Then the passage says, and He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. The blood represents the life of Christ. That's what blood represents. It represents the life. So Christ not only paid for your sin so that you would not have to suffer the penalty of my sin and your sin. He said, I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to give you my life. What have you been struggling with? What ways have you been saying to yourself, if only I could have this, do this, accomplish that, be in this relationship, then I would be alive. Then my life would count. Then I would. What makes us one is Jesus comes and says, trade in your life for my life. I'm going to give you my life. And my life is all you will ever need. It's beyond what you could ever dream of. If you, and it's at that moment, it's at that moment. It can only be received by faith. It's at that moment that you go, oh, Lord Jesus, I give up this life. I accept your life as my life. If you can trust Him for that, together, let's take the juice. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that there's no one in this room that you have not paid for their sin. There's no one in this room that you have not offered your life to. Lord, as we sing to you and we sing this next verse of this song. By faith, we say to you, we believe you, Jesus. You've done everything that needs to be done. And your life is my life. In your name we pray. Amen.
I can see.
Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for oneness. And as we head into this year, help us to be patient and help us to again and again and again remember, relive. This is where it all starts. We all start in the same place. We take ourselves from here all the way through the path entirely by faith. In your name we pray. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Just real quick, the next step. Something that often trips us up. And tends to trip all of us up from one time to the next. Jesus has given you and I amazing promises. When we come to trust him by faith, he makes these amazing promises to us. But in many ways, we are babies learning to walk in this step. In this step, you learn what from others what grace and how to live, or how to live by each block. The blocks we have are that you belong, that you are holy, that you are his servant, you are his witness. Each of those represent a promise that's been made to you. And the Bible says this, putting aside all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect of salvation, if you've tasted the kindness of the Lord. The very first step as believers, and this is a believer that makes us one, is this. We're putting off the old person, we're putting on the new person. Who's this new person? It's who Jesus says you are. Jesus gives you a brand new identity. He makes you a new person. That's what the promises are all about. The promises are not about God giving you things. They're primarily about God making you someone new. And then you experience that as you trust him. And so we've got a little toolbox there that gives you ways that you can interact with God, or things that you can do. All those tools are meant to help you be able to take this first step, which is to learn from others. But here's the key. Christ followers don't just learn things. Christ followers don't just learn things. They act on them together. Faith is acting like God's word is true. Faith is taking God at his word. And so this step is a very, very simple step of learning and then acting on what we learn. But there's something that tends to trip us up. Right off the bat, it trips us up. But you know what? You know what I've discovered? It can trip us up through the entire process. It says in the passage that you desire the word of God like a baby. The great thing about being a baby is you realize, I don't know what's best. I'm going to learn from somebody else. I'm going to figure that out from somebody else. I'm going to watch and trade in my life for their life. So here's the question. Am I going to trust Jesus and his way, or am I going to keep trusting me and my way? This trips us up and it separates us. What makes us one is the idea that, hey, I want to trade in the way I live, I want to trade in the way I think for what Jesus thinks. So my question to you this morning, something I want you to wrestle with this morning is this. In your life, are you missing out on the oneness of Christ and the power of Christ because you're not taking this first step? Do you have Jesus' perspective or your own perspective? Do you live from Jesus' desires or your own desires? Do you go through life and you go, hey, listen, I know what Jesus says and the decisions that Jesus says are wise, but I got my own. Is Jesus the boss or are you the boss? Did you accept the new life that Jesus has for you and then put it on the shelf and just keep living your own life? Here's a really big one. Do I give up my hurts and hang-ups and habits to Jesus, or do I just keep hiding them? No one actually knows. We don't know what they are. Because you keep living the same life you've always lived. Do you talk the same? Do you do marriage the same? Do you parent the same? Do you listen to the same music and take in the same most social media and watch the same movies? In your life, do you realize that Jesus has invited you into a new life? Or have you taken Jesus and tried to fit him into your life? Have you said, this is great. I love that Jesus has forgiven me. I love who Jesus is. I love worship songs. I love learning things. I love being together with my church family, but, I have a life. And I have to continue to build and maintain that life. The first step, it's pretty simple. No, I'm going to trust Christ. And so therefore, if this life doesn't fit in with what Christ is calling me to do and what the Bible calls me to do, this is the life that goes. This is my new life. I'm going to live from that place. What makes us one? Jesus does. Jesus makes us one. How do we experience oneness? Surrender. When you come to trust Christ, when you come to that place where you're like, Jesus has done everything, then you surrender to the love and the grace of Christ. You surrender to it. When you take the first step of your new life, you surrender to it. So here's the question. Here's the challenge. Have you gotten too big and important to play baby games? Have you gotten too big and important to play baby games? Now, for some of you, do you remember being in junior high? For others of you, do you have junior hires? Right? So this is what happens to junior hires. I mean, they are awesome people. They're fun to play with. I mean, it's just great to be with them. You have family games, you play together. Life is fun. And then they become too cool to have fun. Something happens. And they're like, no, I'm not playing that baby game with you. We're not playing those baby games. I am way too cool to have fun. And they are boring. What in the world happened? In our Christian life, sometimes we look at this path and we think, I'm past that stage. No. You step into that stage and then you live from that stage the rest of your Christian life. You always live by faith through grace. You never stop being a baby who desires the milk of the word and who wants to grow and who is excited about the new things that Christ is calling them into and are scared to death to take the next step that Jesus has asked me to take, but it's the new life, so I'm going to take it. It's awesome. It's just awesome. So, are you too cool? Or are you willing to come back to baby games? How do you interact with Jesus? There's a couple in our church called Edwin. Her name's Edwin and Diana. And Edwin and Diana Lopez. And some years ago, they came to our church. They had two kids when they started coming to our church. They were not married. Along the way, they came to Christ. They're like, we need to get married. So we start marriage counseling, and in marriage counseling, whenever I start marriage counseling, I always have this challenge for them. Now, for you to continue through marriage counseling, I really want you to do this. It will really help. I said, I want you to stop having sex. Now, they've already had two kids, right? They've already been together for a long time. I'm like, yeah, but God doesn't want you to have sex outside of marriage. He wants you to see how special and awesome it is. And so I'm asking you to take that step. And they're like, okay, we'll do it. I mean, what are you going to say at the beginning of marriage counseling? Of course you're going to do it, right? At least you're going to say you're going to do it. It was amazing to watch. As we worked our way through it, as the weeks went on, they came in giggling and touchy. What happened? They said, we feel like we're in junior high again. We feel like we're in high school. There's something that has happened between us that you never dreamed would have happened because we said, okay, we're going to do it God's way. This is a picture of your lives, guys. It's a picture of your lives, of our lives. What makes us one? Jesus does. How do we experience it? By grace. Through faith, we trust him. We take it in. Let's this year, let's all be those fun fourth and fifth graders that will, whatever Jesus asks us to take, we'll take it by faith. Lord Jesus, thank you. You're too good to be true. What you've called us to is too good to be true. We step into what you've called us to. We're going to trust you. In your name we pray. Amen.